The reading for this morning is taken from John 21, from verses 15 to 22. That can be found on page 1090 in the Church Pew Bibles. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and sat and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." This is the word of the Lord.
25 years ago, I had just been ordained. That means you get to wear one of these. And I was starting as a curate, like an apprentice vicar in a church in Rugby. I was about to preach my first ever sermon. One of the first, anyway. And just as I was about to get up, like right now, somebody comes up to me and says, "Do you have a moment?" I said, "Well, not really. I'm kind of busy." He said, "Well, I just wanted to tell you there's a bit of toast and jam on your upper lip." This is a definition of feedback. Have you ever received feedback like this? That's kind of embarrassing. You wish you hadn't heard it, but actually, you're so grateful that you did. This year in our staff team, we have been trying to get better at what is called in some workplaces review. Some places call it performance management. What this is essentially is getting feedback on how it's going. This morning, we are thinking about the feedback that Jesus wants to give you and me. That is so full, as we have prayed already, of kindness. A kindness that's not nice, that just tells you what you want to hear. But kindness that's full of grace, full of mercy, of what you need to hear. Jesus is kindness incarnate. I'm going to invite us all to receive, if we can, if we wish to, his kindness, his offer of feedback this morning. Now, when Will, who came in to give us our training on staff review, what does really good review, or some people call it performance management, look like? There's two kinds that are really bad, like opposite ends of a spectrum. On one end here, Graham, can you just put up the slide? It's like this. There's the feedback that is annihilating. I don't know how to spell that, so I'll give it an A. It's a bit like this Roman emperor in the Colosseum putting his thumbs down. It might be full of truth, but it just crushes you. And it's, well, just makes you want to resign. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, there's feedback that I'll give the letter N to. It's nice, but utterly useless. I've received review of different kinds in my life, and not only in the workplace. As a parent, my daughters have been over the years in the business of performance management. When they were in a year reception and a year two at, I'm not sure, oh, thank you, yeah, that's really good. That's my clipboard there. Sorry, it's not very artistic. It's basically saying, nice, annihilating. Don't be either of them. Anyway, at St. Andrew's School, Rebecca and Joanna, they gave me feedback on my school assemblies. They were brilliant, apparently. Dad, you were amazing. I really believe them. I even wrote a book with some ideas for primary school assemblies. Very nice. Roll the time on 10 years. They're now 14 and 16. My performance management reviews have gone down somewhat, especially in the area of my comedy. Not good at all. I remember on one occasion I'm about to come out with one of my hilarious puns. And Rebecca, she just goes, no, Dad, don't even think about it. I've tried never to be funny ever since. Jesus is full of grace and truth. He is full of the truth of the toast on our lip and everything else that needs to be removed and everything that needs to be put into place. And he is full of grace. Jesus' kindness, the kindness incarnate in the flesh that comes to earth in Jesus, is full of grace. On the cross which he dies, with outstretched arms, this is the grace, the offer of God to anyone to come to him and receive the love of God that is relentlessly, passionately on your side, that took Jesus, God himself, to the cross for you. He's full of grace. And he's also not one to ignore the truth about your life. He comes from heaven to earth to get to the bottom of the reality of who we are. Not to rub it in, but to rub it out all that needs to be rubbed out. Full of truth and grace, kindness incarnate. If you have a Bible that's not already open, would you turn to John chapter 21? It's on page 1090 of the Church Bibles, because here we see kindness, Jesus' kindness, in action. He gives it to Simon Peter. He's offering it to you and to me this morning if we'll receive it. You need to know what's happening before this conversation that starts in verse 15. At the beginning of this chapter, if you look across the page at verse 3, Simon Peter has said, I'm going out to fish. Why is he saying that? Well, a couple of chapters before, you can read it in John chapter 18, Simon Peter has had a very bad experience. He has let Jesus down big time. If Jesus were to give him a performance management review that was truthful, it wouldn't score highly. Simon is asked by a servant girl whether he's a disciple of Jesus. Just after Jesus has been arrested, he's being interrogated, he's about to be crucified. And Simon Peter says, three times, I didn't know him. I wasn't one of his disciples. It's a betrayal of the one he called his Lord, not a million miles away from that of Judas. It was a very poor performance, if you like. And Simon Peter, he weeps bitterly. He's a broken man. And John chapter 21, verse 3, he says, I'm going out of fish, because he remembers the calling he once had on his life that Jesus gave him to be a fisher of men. But when push came to shove, he just blew it. And it feels like he's disqualified himself, so he is going back to be a fisher of fish. he's full of remorse, and he thinks, well, the truth is that I'm not a very good disciple at all. And so he goes out to fish. A few of the other disciples go with him, and they catch absolutely nothing. And now Simon isn't only a bad fisher of men, he can't even be a fisher of fish. He's at a low ebb. And then at dawn, Jesus from the shore calls out to them where to fish. Verse 6, can you see it? Throw your nets on the other side. They do. It's the greatest catch of their lives. And when they bring it to the shore, these nets bursting with this miraculous catch, they find breakfast that Jesus has cooked for them. Have you got the picture? If you want a picture of grace, definition of which is something I really didn't deserve, this is a picture of it. Simon Peter, the fisherman, being given the most amazing gift that you can give a fisherman, this fantastic catch. And Jesus even cooked it for him. This is what grace looks like for this man, Simon Peter, who's just a broken guy. He no longer believes in himself. But Jesus' kindness incarnate wants to say to him that I haven't given up on you. In his remorse, Jesus gives him the grace of forgiveness through this gift, this miraculous catch that's exactly right for him. This is atonement. It's what Jesus gives. It's a whole new start. As we prayed just a few minutes ago, God is the God of new beginnings. And atonement is one definition of it is the wiping the slate clean. Jesus not rubbing it in what Simon Peter has done, but giving him the chance in the power of the cross to rub it out, to be made right with God, and to be reinstated in his calling. Look at verse 15. Jesus says to Simon, I am recommissioning you. Once upon a time, I called you to be a fisher of men. I'm going to use a different image, but it's the same calling. Feed my lambs. He says it three times. Why does he say it three times? Because that was the number of times Simon denied him. This is grace reaching out to Simon, like the outstretched arms of Jesus on the cross. And now the risen Lord Jesus is giving him grace tailored for Simon. Now, your name might not be Simon. What sort of grace do you need from the risen Lord Jesus to reinstate your calling? We see in the gospel accounts of the resurrected Jesus how he gives different people the grace they need, all of the expressions of his amazing grace. Simon in his guilt is given this reinstatement. Other disciples in their fear, what does Jesus give them? He gives them the grace of his peace. Mary at the tomb in her grief, Jesus gives her the grace of his comfort. Two travelers on the Emmaus Road after Jesus being crucified in their confusion, what does Jesus give them? He gives them the grace of his enlightenment. Thomas, in his doubt, is given by Jesus the grace of reassurance and an answer. To each one is given the grace they need. In his kindness, Jesus gives you and me what we don't deserve. This is grace. This is what the cross does. It's God's ultimate appraisal or review of you. He's saying, you're worth it. Now, this is very different from just being nice. That's just people who say nice things about you. That's your four-year-old daughter who thinks you're great. It might be encouraging, but it's not the kindness we're talking about here, which is not only full of grace, but it's also full of truth. The God of truth, who gets the bottom of the truth of why Simon, why you and I need the grace of forgiveness. Here's what the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verse 6, says about this. It says, "Blessed are the wounds of a friend." Blessed are the wounds of a friend. "Deceitful are the compliments of an enemy." You see, it's a blessing to be told there's toast and jam on your lip. There isn't. It's a blessing. Kind of uncomfortable, but you need to be told. So Jesus here, he's not ignoring the past of Simon. He does very gently, very kindly, take Simon back to that place a few days before where he betrayed him three times. It so happens, John chapter 18 tells us, that it was by a fire, and he and this servant girl are warming their hands. And now as Jesus is talking with him and reinstating him, it's also by a fire. And the smell of the charcoal comes up and takes Simon back in his mind to that memory of a few days before. Jesus asks him three times, as I said, echoing the three denials, the three times he was asked by a servant girl, "You followed him, didn't you?" Very gently, he takes him back. Sometimes the Jesus full of truth deals with Simon in a different way. On another occasion, Simon comes out with words that are frankly of the devil, and Jesus says to him, "Get behind me, Satan." He's very direct, but here he's a broken man. He knows the way that Simon is best going to receive this truth, because he's not in the annihilating business. Verse 17, look at it. Simon Peter is hurt, it says. He's hurt. Why is he hurt? It's because the memory is so painful. But what the cross, the kindness of God does, is to use that pain to underline the costly grace that took Christ to the cross. The letter to the Colossians, chapter 2, verse 14 says, "On the cross, Jesus forgave us our sins and took away all that was against us, that would condemn us, nailing it to the cross." Jesus doesn't ignore what's happened. He's full of truth. He deals with it. He deals with it. Here's a little bit what it's like. In a rugby match, game of rugby union, sometimes a foul is committed. But the referee can play advantage. That means he allows the game to go on, to see if the side who was fouled against get an advantage. But then, after that's run its course, he takes the game back to where the foul was committed, and a penalty is awarded. Does this make sense? If you don't play rugby, you just got to hang on in there with this one. Sometimes the player is sent off. The word they use is he's sent to the sin bin. Okay. Now, in a similar way, Jesus goes to the place where the sin occurred. Sometimes it was some time ago. But the difference is, instead of sending the offender to the sin bin, Jesus himself goes there. The cross, as it were, is the sin bin. Jesus nails all that was against Simon, all that was against you, all that's against me, nailing it to the cross, because Jesus is the God of new beginnings, who's full of kindness and mercy. like the ref ensures justice is done in the game, Jesus does the same so that Simon can grow. He can play on. God knows some of the most enduring life lessons I've learned have been from mistakes I've made. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. There is no kinder friend than Jesus. For someone here, you might be the only one. God's Spirit this morning is making it very clear to you what you need. And in a moment, I'm going to invite you to respond in this way. On the cross here, which I'm saying is the source of all grace, represented by the outstretched arms of Jesus, and all truth, which gets to the bottom of what's gone wrong. There are these post-it notes. They're blank. They represent the new beginning that God is in the business of giving every single one of us. Now, this might not be you, but if it is you, and you can think of one thing you really need, be it the truth of Jesus, who's full of truth, to get to a tough place, a difficult place, a bad memory in your life that you need Jesus in all his truth to meet you in. I'm going to invite you in a few moments' time to come up and take a post-it note, and with one of our pens or yours, just write truth on it and stick it on the cross. And God knows what that means. But somebody else here, you've just been beaten up by life or by somebody who feel like it's annihilated you. And what you really need to hear is Jesus' word of grace. The word of truth sets you free. The word of grace heals you to get going again. Simon needs both, and you might need particularly the word of grace from Jesus himself, who confirms, who affirms his love for you and his calling on your life. You can come up and write on your note, grace. Just stick it here. Representing the new beginning. Yeah, you might be the only one. And here's the thing, if you want to seal the fact that Jesus is giving you this new start, and you're receiving it from him, you can be prayed for by one of our prayer team over here. But next Sunday, there is a particular way that you can seal that. Maybe, if not next Sunday, on a Sunday in a few months' time. Because next Sunday, we're having a baptism service. And if you've never been baptized, but you want to say to Jesus, I want this new beginning with you, I want to receive your truth and your grace. You have died for me. You've wiped the slate clean. I want to be baptized. This amazing sign. We can tell you exactly what that means. And if that's right for you, you can be baptized. And then if that's you, or if you have been baptized and you want to renew your baptism vows for a very specific reason, it's quite a big deal. This is a very big deal. Just put your name and some way we can contact you on your sheet. So I put truth or grace. And if baptism is right, maybe for one person here who hasn't told us yet, just put your name so we can talk with you. I'm going to finish with a final story from myself. One thing Will told us about review, is that it's great to get an opinion from a couple of people on how you're doing. You've got to be quite careful how you choose them, he said. You don't want to choose people who are nice, who just say you're brilliant. You definitely don't want to choose people who will annihilate you. Okay. It's called 360-degree feedback. You want people who give you truth and grace. And I received this from someone. I'll call him Tim Armstrong. That was his name. And what I remember most is some feedback he gave me about one of my first sermons here. I didn't have any toast on my lip, but he said a whole lot of really affirming stuff. But then he said something pretty courageous. I'd only just started. Tim didn't really know how it would go down. But this is what he said. He said, you know, Jonathan, I think last Sunday you really included one story too many. And it, to be honest, didn't help me at all understand the Word of God. A very courageous thing to do. Very courageous. Extremely helpful. If I was here this morning, I'd look at him and say, that rugby story, do you think that worked? But in all seriousness, very courageous. It takes courage and kindness to give feedback. But I've got to say, I don't succeed, but I try to remember that. Put it into practice. This is what Jesus wants to do for you, to give you the kindness that will help you get better. Help me get better. In everything he calls us to. Would you please stand with me as the worship group come forward? I'm going to pray a prayer of confession. And if it's your prayer, I'm simply going to invite you to echo it in your heart. It's a prayer just saying how much I need, maybe you do too, I'm sure you do too, his grace and his truth. And then if it's right for you, you can come forward and affirm that in the way I said, just by putting truth or grace on the cross. Lord Jesus, I confess that like Simon Peter, I need your truth in my life. I need you, like the proverbial toast on the upper lip, to remove things from me that are not of you. I need your help to put things in my life that are of you. I thank you for your ultimate kindness, that you died for me on a cross, nailing there all that was against me, all that could annihilate me, all that would condemn me. Thank you for dying for me. And thank you for your grace, your encouragement, spoken not least through people in my life, sometimes even strangers. Your grace that gives the word of affirmation, of relentless love, of the new start you always offer in Jesus. Please come into my life and make me the person you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen.